Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
I enjoyed that worship, yes. And I enjoy that message, yes. That everything is going to be all right.
Yes.
I believe that no matter how tumultuous the world is, no matter how much things are falling apart around you, there is always a place in the spirit of peace. There's always a place that you can get away from. I was thinking of like a submarine. It could be in the middle of a worst storm in the world. If it sinks a little bit deeper, it'll get to a place where the storm's above it. You can go into a place in the spirit. On an airplane, you could be in the middle of a storm and you can just call the tower and say, I need higher altitude. It's cool to be 3,000 feet above a storm, and you're flying in beautiful, you see the sun, there's no clouds above you, and below you is a storm that's just, you're above it. So mount up as wings as of eagle. The other thing, I a few years ago, I saw this guy, he designed a bear suit. The bear suit was so that a bear could attack him. So he had all this foam and all this stuff. Even if you had a strong bear, that he was wearing all this stuff that the bear could knock him around all day long, and he was safe within there. And I think of the armor that we have. If we have the armor of God, if you're in a tank, you just hear the bullets and the stuff bouncing off. But there is a place of protection. There is a supernatural place of protection. There is a place of peace for the turmoil in our lives. And it's, the Bible calls it a secret place. That even if you're in prison in a small cell, there's a secret opening that leads to green grass. And that's the secret place of the Most High.
Good morning again. God is in this place. You can feel the power of God since the time of worship. You really, really could sense his presence in such a tangible and a strong way. I was going to share this word tomorrow night, but I feel like that the Holy Spirit wants me to share this morning. So I'm going to kind of begin with this little side note. You know, I'd ask you a while ago, there are people who come to me and it may feel to you like all of hell is against you. And people say, why does it feel like all of hell is against me? And I tell them it's because all of hell has come against you. It's not just a feeling. But I kept asking God over the past few weeks, why does it seem like all hell has come against me? And he spoke to me and he said, because you have come against all hell. Because you have come against all hell. When you take a stand, when you talk bold, when you speak the bold truth to people, let me tell you, all hell has come against you because you've come against all hell. And it was such a clear word to me that because you have not backed down, you have shook hell. And sometimes we have this tendency, I want to share this word with you because, and we're going to get into this message, but it does not matter. You think that you don't matter, right? The enemy will try to convince you that you don't matter, that they're against you, they're offended by you, that you don't matter in life. What does it matter? But I want to tell you that you do matter, that God's going to turn your situation around, that he spoke to me, and this is a season of healing of hurt and bringing in harvest. And the devil who convinces you that you don't matter, there's a reason for that. And the Lord spoke to me and said this, you matter more than you think. And I want to tell you why you matter more than you think, okay? You think you don't matter? I'm going to tell you about somebody who believes in you. Let me tell you, you think I'm going to say God, don't you? You think I'm going to say God believes in you. That's okay. But there's someone else who believes in you. The devil believes in you. He believes you matter. He believes that you're out there making a difference. He's convinced that you matter, and that's why all of hell has come against you, because he's convinced. Now, if he's convinced you matter, how come you're not? We got to accept that God wants, and I want to tell you one more thing. Your final chapter has not been written yet. You're going to go through some hard chapters, but your final chapter hasn't been, because that's going to be the best chapter of all. And something that was just so powerful to me is to realize that the same God who took his finger, wrote the law, and then sent Jesus to earth to submit his hand and his finger is writing your story in blood red with his own hand. If you give him back the pen because of the blood, he's writing your story. You have got nothing to worry about. You matter, no matter what wilderness you go through. And I just felt like I was going to save that for tomorrow night, but I just felt like God said, this is for my people. This is for them on Sunday morning, just as much as it is Monday night. The reason hell is against you is because you have come against hell, and you are doing the right thing, not the wrong thing, the right thing. So our message is, awake, O sleeper, and rise up. In Ephesians, it says, therefore, he says, the Lord God, awake you who are sleeping, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine his light in you so that you won't be fools, and you will redeem the time, for the days are evil. How many of you know that the tribe of Issachar knew that they were, what kind of times they were living in? And we need to know what's going on in our city, what's going on in our world. We need to discern this so we will know how to act and how to speak. And I want to tell you something in a strong way. If you call it correction, you call it whatever you want, this is no time to play church. This is the time to be the church. God is not looking for superstars. He has millions of stars in the sky already, and he ain't looking for no superstar. We can't quit. We can't step back. We can't look back. We can't go back. We can't turn back. Instead, we have to stand up and rise up. We have to rise up and take our place in the kingdom. And I love what Tony said, because it was written in our into our notes, to know Christ and make him known. It's on our pulpit to fulfill the Great Commission that Jesus said to teach. Are we teaching? Baptizing? Are we baptizing them? Observing his commandments? Are we observing and obeying his commandments? And as we go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have given, freely received. I said something Sunday night. Here's a throwaway comment in this that heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and then it says, don't take gold or silver or brass in your purses. Doesn't that seem very random to you? Heal the sick, raise the dead, and don't take money with you? You know why? Because money isn't what they need. Money don't help no lepers, does it? Money don't help no sick people at all, does it? And money shouldn't be what we're interested in at all. And we need to do what God has told us to do. And that means praying for people, praying for healing for people. It's not your responsibility to decide if you're going to. Frida, I love that flag. Show them your flag, for goodness sakes. She's got a flag here waving that says blessed. I love it. We're blessed. That distracted me in a good way. We are blessed, and so we need to do what God tells us to do.
Amen. The Bible talks about the blood speaking. And you'll hear about blood testimony. I saw this thing where this guy had murdered his wife and gotten away with it. And he had, it had happened in the basement, and he had cleaned everything up, and the basement was just perfect. And, they suspected him, and they finally got a warrant to look, and he was confident because he had cleaned up all the blood. But the blood speaks.
Yep, yep.
They have this material called luminol,
yep,
where they shut the lights off and they use some sort of black ultraviolet, and they spray this and the blood just starts glowing.
Yep.
And I was thinking about DNA tests. You know, what we have in common is we all have blood flowing through us. And yet your blood could be used to pull DNA to prove who your mother and father were. And if your DNA test would show divine nature. It would show that God is your father. Isn't that amazing? The point I'm making to begin with is there's a supernatural life that goes along with being a Christian. The high promise is the Bible, but sometimes there's the low living. We live down here, but the promises are way, way up here. You talked about why does it feel like hell is against us. Hell is against you unless you are a friend of hell.
That's right.
Or to put it another way, If you never meet the devil, it means you're going the same way he's going. That's why you never meet him.
Yes.
First of all, I want to say, when we look around this church at all the individuals, and how cool is it that you're here? I mean, you're here. It's the year 2023, which I can remember thinking as a child, if I ever made it to the year 2000, I would be old. I probably won't make it to the year 2000. It's the Jetsons. It's 2023. How old are you? Why are you here? You're still here in church. You chose this morning to get up to worship God. You chose this morning to get up and tell God that you love him. You chose that. How cool is that? How amazing is that? How wonderful is that? That you are, forget about who's not here. You're here. Boy, that's a testimony against the enemy, that after all he's thrown at you, after all the junk and garbage that you've been through, you got up and said, I'm going to go worship God today. Thank you. That's amazing. I want to encourage you to run your race through the finish line. Run it through the finish line. The world is separated from God. Can you say amen to that? Do you know that's true? That this world doesn't honor God? That this world is full of turmoil and it's full of debate and it's full of disagreements? Yeah. But you're not separated from God. Right. Run that race. There's nothing sadder than someone quitting the race in the last mile. And if I can go back to Let's Make a Deal, the biggest prize I ever saw them give off was cars, right? If you want a car. Could you imagine getting the new car and then Monty Hall says, all right, Frida, you got the new car. Would you like to trade it behind what's hidden behind door number two? Not when you have the car. You don't trade it for some stupid thing because it's going to be a goat.
Yep.
Right? When you have the kingdom of God and someone says, would you like a bowl of porridge and trade your birthright in? Would you like to throw away your Christianity for a night of sin? Or would you want to throw away your belief and your love for this stupid thing behind door? No, you go, I've got a pearl. That's what the kingdom of God is like. Someone that found a pearl of great price. You're going to hang on to that pearl. All right, so everything begins with the saying, I need God.
That's right.
We need the power of God to help others. We need it for ourselves in order to minister. And you can't give something to someone else if you don't have it yourself. It's like that commercial we all remember, that lady says, I've fallen and I can't get up. We are all fallen and we cannot get up without the Lord, without God being there. Sometimes there's people that have fallen and they're unable to get up by themselves. They need a Jesus like at the pool of Bethesda. They need someone to come to lift us up. You cannot work out your problems on your own. Natural life is a struggle. It was supposed to be a struggle. You read the curse in the garden, the childbirth, that. Even growing crops would be struggle. There would be disease. There would be thorns. It is possible for you to live your life as an atheist, which means you live according to the laws of nature. You say everything is science, everything is physics, everything is cause and effect. And that's the way most people live their life, is things happen. You get in a car accident, it's physics. There's a fire, it's physics. You're sick, it's physics. You fall off a roof, it's physics. And all your life could be lived according to physics. I love physics because it's the laws of God. But there's a higher law too called the law of love. God is not bound by the laws of physics. So you can live supernaturally. This is exciting. You don't have to live according to the laws of just how... You can live according to a higher law. God is a supernatural God. If you need miracles, God is not bound by the laws of physics. Let me give you an example. The sun was stopped in the Old Testament from revolving. Do you know that's impossible? Do you know that the earth is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour at the equator? What do you think what happens if you go from 1,000 miles per hour to nothing? Everybody dies is what happens, right? 1,000 miles an hour, everyone on earth dies if the earth suddenly stops spinning. You think God's bound by the laws of physics? You think Jesus is bound by the laws of walking on water? He's walking on water. There's a little girl that had just died. They had pronounced her dead. The scientists, the doctors of the day, she's not breathing. Her heart isn't beating. Here comes Jesus. What do you think, Jesus? I pronounce her asleep. They're laughing at him. But they don't know he's not bound by the laws of physics. There's a higher law that he walks in. Shadrach is going to get thrown in a fiery furnace. But Jesus isn't bound by the laws of physics. You may get a medical report, but Jesus isn't bound by the laws of physics. Don't approach your problems from a human perspective. Don't just think about what man can do. You serve a God who is so much bigger than this world. Praise God for supernatural living.
I want to go back for a second to what you were talking about, the blood, the guy who was trying to clean up the blood, because this is what the Holy Spirit was speaking to me when you were saying that. You know, I'm sure he tried bleach. I'm sure he tried everything. Clean it up, get it up. And you think it's clean. And isn't that how we do sometimes? Bleach can't clean up your mess. It can't clean up your life. But that's the thing. We try to clean up our own life, right? I'm going to do better. I'm going to do things better. I'm going to change my behavior. But that's not successful because we need someone to help, like that woman who fell in the commercial and couldn't get up. She was right and wrong. She couldn't get up, but she could get up with help. I feel like that I have an answer for why most Christians struggle in life. I really do. I feel like I'm going to give you the answer. Because we act independently of God. We need God for every decision we make, every little decision, every big decision, every middle decision. We need God. We need to consult with our Heavenly Father. We are not independent of God. And if we try to act independent of God, we're going to fall flat on our face. We are dependents of God. You know how they claim your kids on your income tax? You are dependents. I am God's dependent. That's who I am. And I'm not ashamed of that, and I'm thankful for that. It is time. It is so time for us to ask God for help. We don't have help many times in our life because we don't ask for help. We try to fix it. We ask everyone for help but God. We talk to everybody about it but God. And we need his help. And my story, you've probably heard me tell this before, but if I had a secondary title for this message, it would be Rise and Shine. And it comes from a surgical nurse that told me, a real happy nurse one morning, I had major surgery, and she comes bouncing into my room, not in pain at all, and she says, rise and shine. It is time to get up and walk. And I'm like, not happening. You rise, you shine, not this girl. I'm not walking. And she said, oh, no, 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 that's why I'm here. I'm here to help. I'm going to help you walk. And just as chipper as she could be, and I truly hated her for those seconds, those minutes, and the first few steps I took with Miss Sunshine was hard, and they hurt, and they were painful. And she looked at me, and she said, you're crying. And I said, yes, but I'm walking too. And I want to encourage you today, just don't quit. Just let God help you walk through life. Even when you're in pain, even when you're hurting, rise and shine. That's the message today. We could go home. Rise and shine. Let God lift you up again. You were born to win, not to quit. And just like that nurse, he wants to encourage you. He said, I'll hold you by my strong right arm will hold you up. That nurse did not let me fall, but God even more so. She could have accidentally let me fall. It's happened. But with God, you're never going to fall. And though you slip and stumble, you will not be utterly cast down. We're not created to live a life where we are defeated. The enemy is defeated, but why is it that God's people act like they're defeated? I can't make it. I don't know if I can continue. I don't know if I can do. I've heard people actually say, Christians, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Well, you better decide that you can do this some more, because Jesus went to the cross. You have never done as much as Jesus has done. You've never suffered as much as Jesus has suffered. So we've got to keep on keeping on, as the old song says, but ask God for help. We have the Holy Spirit today. There's no reason for us to not have discernment, to act apart from God. I asked God for a miracle this morning. He's already done it. Already done it. Let me tell you, God is so faithful. Every day now of my life, I sing that song, Tony, in my spirit. I've got a promise. Everything's going to be all right. You know why I sing that song? Because I have a problem. I need the promise. I don't want to sing a song. I've got a problem. Everything's not all right. No, it's not like that at all. We got to sing the song and on tune. I've got a promise. I depend on the promises of God, and you better too, because you know what? There's a lot the enemy's going to throw at you. He can throw all hell at you, but if you claim one promise of God, you're going to be all right.
There are so many studies that show that if you just expose yourself to something, that it gets in you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, let's say that you decided to spend 8 hours listening to people raving that were just racist, that they were just talking about racism for 8 hours. That gets in you. That gets on you. It's so important what we, you know, you're saying what songs we're singing,
yes,
you know.
It is important.
What we put in our spirit, if you listen to K-Down, right?
Yep.
You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille.
Yes.
You know, and if it's always about how, but that's why we need to expose ourselves to living water. Come on. What you are what you eat, right?
Yes.
If you eat rat poison. If you're listening to something where a bunch of people are screaming and yelling, they're all upset, you're eating rat poison. Why are you listening to that in the first place? So anyway, there's tons of studies that prove that out, which means that if you replaced K-Down with Psalms, how encouraging would you be? I can't help even right now, even as I'm talking, in the back of my mind, everything's going to be all right. I can't help it. It's stuck there now, Frida.
That's right.
I got a problem. The words. Aren't you glad that song is the one that's stuck there? The prodigal son was totally dependent upon the father, but he decided he wanted to be independent.
Yes.
His story is our story. It's your story. When in your life did you decide, I'm going to try this without God? Look at all the riches out there. Look at all the sin that looks just so tempting. And you left God, but you found out, didn't you? You found her out because you realized something. And that's why you're here today. You realize that you are at your best when you're serving God. You are at your worst when you're not serving God. Isn't that right? What was the worst time in your life? It wasn't when you were serving God. The worst time of your life was when you got away from serving God. On taxes, boy, I used to really enjoy taxes because I had, I had a dependent named Lily, a dependent named Nathan, a dependent named Tyler. I had all these kids that were my dependents. It was wonderful. It really helped on taxes. And then Tyler, and then Nathan, and then Lily, and it's like, what? I have no dependents. We have a dog that we're trying to claim. So imagine being a dependent on, you're dependent on God. You're God's child. And every year you say, God, I'm dependent upon you for the very food that I eat. And then the prodigal son's like, and I would like to be, you know, independent. I'm going to leave. Boy, he found out. And he had to come to his senses. In Veteran Affairs, children of veterans are called dependents. And the definition, for the most part, with some exceptions, is people under 18. Once you're over 18, you're no longer a dependent and you lose those benefits. But there's a special class of VA benefits that's for helpless children. If you can demonstrate that person is completely dependent upon their father because of whatever reasons. Maybe it's medical reasons. But you can prove, then if you can show that they're a helpless child, helpless without the father, then the VA will say you're a dependent for life. You'll always be a dependent. And you know what? When it comes to the kingdom of God, you can't ever say, I don't need him now. I've outgrown God. I want to say, I'm going to be dependent upon God for every breath that I take, for my very heartbeat today, for my very life. I'm dependent upon God. And you know what? If we have, back to living in the natural, lions will eat you. But you don't have to live by the natural. I'm not going to stop, but I can tell you story after story where God reached down and saved my life, where heaven just changed things, and so can you. Disease can consume you without the power of God. It all becomes cause and effect. The reality is we can do very little without God. Every time I've tried to live without God, I've gotten in trouble. So let's look at the man at the pool of Bethesda. First of all, let's dispose a rumor. Time heals all wounds. You think in medical school they say, now listen, everybody, time will heal it all. Don't worry about it. All your patients will just give them time. 38 years for this man at the pool. Time wasn't healing his wounds. He was living as a natural man and not living supernaturally. I have no man to help me, and there was no man that could help him, which I always thought was funny when people would get mad at Jesus and say, why are you healing on the Sabbath? Why don't you heal on one of the other days? And it's like, why don't you? You know, I didn't see them healing anybody on any other days. Now, here's something interesting about this story. After the man got healed, they ask him, what was the name of the guy that healed you? You know what his answer was? I don't know. I'm not sure who he was. The reason I like that is you may not know who he is, but he knows who you are. Come on now. Before you knew him, he knew you. The woman at the well didn't know Jesus was coming, but he knew she would be there. Jesus goes after the one sheep and leaves the 99. That means he goes after you. So if you can live supernaturally, and we can, we should be praying for miracles. We should be praying for the power of God. We should be the enemy of Satan. He should know your name. You should be making headlines in hell. You should be praying about everything. You shouldn't be worrying about anything. That's all scripture. Don't pray about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. How can God, if he's the one that set the laws of nature, how can he break his own laws? Because he's not breaking them. It's like if there was a painting by Michelangelo, no one can change it except Michelangelo. If there's a painting by Da Vinci, no one's touching it. But Da Vinci can say, I've changed my mind, I'm erasing that. God can do the same thing. He wrote everything. He wrote your DNA. He created your heart. If he wants to recreate it, he can. And I believe, Pam, that people are hungry for the truth. They're not going to come to God through debate or through conflict. It's going to be the power of God in their life, touching them, feeding them, caring for them.
Faith without works is dead, and people need to see a real faith, a genuine faith, not a part-time. We are not called to be part-time believers because they can't defeat full-time devils. And God has not called you or I to watch Netflix full-time. He's not called us to be a bowling champion. He's called us, like David, to be a champion giant killer. And we need to be speaking words of life and hope. And all of hell does come against believers, but we don't have anything to fear. And I want to address that a little bit. You know, the devil did not, a lot of Christians will tell me, I did not have this many troubles when I was living in the world. I understand that, but you also didn't have the help that God can give you. Here's the thing, you know, the devil liked Pam, who was afraid of the dark, but he doesn't like Pam living in the light. He liked Tony Pessina, who went to the club, but he doesn't like Tony Pessina, who worships God. He liked broken down Frida, but he doesn't like shaking tambourines Frida. He doesn't like that at all. But you know why that is? You know how the devil breathes lies and threats out to you? You're not going to do this. They don't like you. That That's because he is threatened by you. He's threatening you because he's threatened by you. I want to tell you that all of hell is watching you, but there are some other people watching you too that are very, very important. That's your children and your children's children. They want to know how you're going through this trial. Are you still standing for God? Because they know everything that's happened in your life. So are you still praising God? Will you still show up at church and sing and praise even in the middle of the storm? Because they're watching you. And of course, it's going to shake hell. But you know what? Then some captives are going to get to break free from hell. If you will shake hell up a bit, the captives will be able to break free. And that's what we're called to do, is set the captives free. But it takes us asking God for help. It takes us asking God for discernment. And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter. I want to tell you something else that some of you have faced, and I feel led by the Holy Spirit to do this. There are people in your life who don't believe in you. Don't let that affect you one single bit. Oh, so you're a worship leader now, Frida. Oh, I see. She's a worship leader. We know who she used to be. You know, don't let that affect you. Even your own family could come against you. That is a possibility. But I want to tell you, that should never, ever stop you in any way, because you have a job to do. You're on a mission, and God has commissioned you, because you need to believe in you, that with God I can do all things through Christ, and nothing is impossible to me because I have Christ living and alive in me, and the presence of God goes with me. You know, I want to say something too. If the devil's beat you up, you have not gone too far, and it is not too late. Can I say that today? You have not gone too far, and it is not too late, no matter what you've done, no matter how old you are, no matter how many years you've wasted. And let me tell you why, because Jesus is a redeemer, and he can turn it around today. He can turn it around today. All you have to do is make a decision. I'm about to change my life. You don't have to explain yourself to nobody. Just watch me, devil. I'm about to change everything. Christ lives in me.
These marathon runners, I've always been fascinated by that. And what they do, you see people in the Olympics, you see these amazing runners. They didn't just decide to start running last week. When it's nice out, they put on their shoes and they go outside and they run. And when it's raining, they get up, they put on their shoes, and they go out and run. And when it's snowing, they get out of bed, they go out, and they put on their shoes, and they run. There's a famous bike rider from bike races. He would always call his friends when it was raining and it was cold, and he would say, "Are you riding or are you hiding?" And what he would say is, the best time to ride is in the rain and in the cold, because if the race conditions are that way, then you're in your element. You're used to riding in the rain. The point is, we're running a race here. And we do. It doesn't matter how you feel. You have to get up in the morning and you have to put on the armor of God, and you have to trust God. On good days you trust God, and on bad days you trust God. And here's the thing: people are counting on you.
That's right.
People are counting on you. You have do you have any idea how many eyes are on you?
Yes, that is correct.
And you say, "Pastor Ken, do you have any idea what I've been through?" Everyone knows what you've been through, and you're still sitting here.
That's right. That's it.
The devil's like, "I can't believe that. I have thrown everything at Emmy. I threw everything at her.
Right.
Week after week, month after month, year after year, she's right there in the middle. She's right there. She got up and said, 'I'm serving God.' After everything that God threw at Emmy, she's still here. She still loves God. Her testimony is still strong." God was counting on Emmy, and God's sitting in heaven smiling, going, "There she is."
Yep. Yep.
God is counting. Look at Mary in the Bible. What a important role she has to. God has to count on her. What if she gets off into sin? What if she doesn't want to raise Jesus? What if she goes rogue? She's going to ruin everything. But God is counting on Mary. God is counting on Moses. God is counting on Emmy. God is counting on Pam. God is counting on every person here to run through the finish line. You don't stop. And if you do stop, you get back up. That's the beautiful thing about running a race. If you stop at mile 20 and you sit down and go, I'm done, you can get up in 30 minutes and go, I'm going to keep going. You don't have to start over again. Gideon was hiding. He had no idea God had a plan for his life. But God was counting on him, and the angel said, you are a mighty man of war. When you make a stand against sin, when you make a stand to pray, when you make a stand to trust God, when you make a stand to live as an example to everyone whose eyes are on you, your children's eyes, your grandchildren's eyes, your co-workers' eyes, when you make a stand, you have made that stand in heaven. That stand echoes throughout heaven, what you just did. Do you believe that? Think about that. God knows when you make a stand. God knows when you're courageous for him. God knows when you say, I'm scared, and I don't know if God will rescue me out of this or not, but I'll tell you this. Whether he does or he doesn't, I will not bow my knee. I love that. Not knowing what would happen, not knowing what the lions are going to do, if they're going to tear you apart or not. But when you trust in God, he just smiles. Yes. Yes. I want to say a couple of things about what Pam just said about don't let other people make that decision on who you are. Right. Don't let anyone else write your story.
That's right.
History is his story. It's his story and your story. You know, if your story, if someone had written a complete book about your life, would it be a tragedy? Would it be a comedy? Would it be a romance? Would it be a horror story? And you go, oh, if it was a story about my life, it's just so many things are going wrong. Let me tell you, you need a chapter that says, and then everything turned around. And then everything changed. And then I trusted God. And then I turned to God. The decisions that you will make today and tomorrow and the rest of your life will affect people throughout the years. It will affect your children's children and their children. They will hear stories about you, but you're going to run your race. Now listen, you're not the same person you were 20 years ago. And it's a good thing you didn't know all the things you were going to face, because you've got some scars that you didn't have 20 years ago. You've went through some battles. You've went through in the last 20 years some things that if you had known, you would have thought you would not have been able to bear that. So you're sitting here today with some scars. You're older and you're wiser, but you're still here. You're still standing. 7-year-old me in 1967, I made a decision for 63-year-old me. How can a 7-year-old make a decision that is binding on him for the rest of his life? The laws of contracts shouldn't even allow a 7-year-old to get married. But it's not, we don't come to God because of intellectual arguments. Just like a bird knows how to fly south and a salmon knows how to go to a place of its birth, there is something in the human heart that points north. It is a compass that when I heard about Jesus, 7-year-old me said yes. And I have never doubted 7-year-old me, because if I've just grown in that love. But isn't that amazing that you can make a decision at 7 and say, there's my foundation. And no matter, even when bad things come our way, it's like, and we prayed and we hit our knees and we said, God, I need you so much. God is for me. Who can be against me? So I want to encourage you to choose life, to choose to live out of heaven, to choose a supernatural path, to seek miracles, and even more, to seek the miracle worker, to seek a God encounter, and to not be satisfied. I think God is looking at all of our lives, and he's like, and what can I do for you? Notice he always told people, what do you want? What do you want? He knew what they want. What do you mean, what do I want? I'm blind over here. Will you ask me what I want? I want to see. Isn't that obvious? I think God is in heaven waiting for someone to raise their hand and say, I want more. I'm hungry for more than this. And God's saying, that's what I'm looking for. Those that are hungry shall be filled. Those that are thirsty, those that knock, those that ask and keep on asking. God loves that hunger. When he sees that hunger, when he sees that over here, that's the squeaky wheel that gets the oil of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we seek. I'm not satisfied, Pam, to live out of the natural laws. I need some supernatural laws.
I'm going to close with this. Up until now, you have survived 100% of every trial or test that you have ever been through in your entire life. In your darkest hour, God was there. You didn't see him, and sometimes you didn't even feel his presence, but he was ever present. And there is no reason for either you or I to feel like that the problem we're facing today or will face tomorrow, that God is not with us. I want to read you a scripture that some of you know because I preached on the Ebenezer stone, that I have a stone that I've set aside that I keep often in my purse. Sometimes it's in my drawer. It's my Ebenezer stone, which Ebenezer means the stone, the rock of my help, which is Jesus. Samuel then took a large stone and he placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshuanah, and he named it Ebenezer, the stone of my help, because he said, up until today, God has always helped us. Why would I not believe? Why would I doubt him for any reason in the whole world? He's always been faithful. Even when you and I were so desperately unfaithful, he was still faithful. I've said this before. I'll repeat myself that said it recently, that on our grandmother's headstone, that reads, she kept the faith. And to me, that's just a challenge, of course. And on our father's headstone, it says, he kept the faith. I sure don't want mine to say, here lies Pam. She just gave up. She just quit. That's not what we want our testimony to be in our final chapter to be. And my favorite passage of scripture, and this, by the way, is a prophetic word for you and your family and really for this church that sits on this corner, because Jesus is our cornerstone. I'm trusting God for things, and so are you. Psalm 126, 1 to 4. When, not if. Stop right there. When. When God does it, not if God's going to do it. When the Lord turned again, if he healed cancer once, he can heal it again. If he healed COVID once, he can heal it again. If he restored a marriage once, he can heal it again. The captivity of the church, we were like them that dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. And they said it even among the heathen, the sinners. The Lord has surely done great things for them. And he surely has. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. So Lord, turn again our captivity. O Lord, as the streams in the south. Make the water sweet again. It says, turn again. God can do it again. I'm telling you, if he did it once, he can do it again. Are you counting on God to heal you again? Are you counting on God to fix that situation again? Are you counting on God for finances again, all over again? He's going to do it again. He's the God of again and again and again. And I'm so thankful that we can make it, that you're going to make it. We're the best sermon I ever heard in my entire life, and the best encouragement came from Mary, the mother of Jesus, who said, do whatever he says to do. If only we would follow her advice, do whatever he says to do, everything would be all right, just like Tony said.
The best sermon I ever heard in my life, I don't even remember who preached it, but it was many, many years ago. But it was entitled, Just Be a Christian. And what the pastor said was, he said, whatever comes your way, just be a Christian. Walk in love. Walk in forgiveness. Speak kindly. Reach out to people. It's not rocket science. What should I do? How would Jesus handle this? You know, how just be a Christian. So usually it's simple. So I want to close with something that's going to happen in the future, very, very exciting in your life. And this will happen. This is like a guarantee. This is going to describe a future moment between Jesus and one other person, you. It's a promise. This in the Bible talks about Jesus is going to meet with each of us individually. That's going to be a pretty big day. Where it's not Jesus in a crowd. It's Jesus saying, Tony, you got an appointment. Come on. Who's going to be there? Me and you, Tony. That's it. Jesus and you. That's a big day. So you have to be ready for that. So I'm going to describe this. But before I read this, and I'll just be about 3 minutes. I know the kids are coming up. I don't want to hold people. But Jesus says, write this to the pergamum, to the angel of the church. This is to the church. The one with the sharp, biting sword drawn from the sheath of his mouth. So this is from Jesus. I see where you live. Right under the shadow of Satan's throne. He's saying, I know the environment all around you is not, it's come on, we live in a world that does not honor Jesus. He says, but you continue boldly in my name. You never once denied my name. We're not going to. Even when the pressure was worst. Come on now. Now I'm going to skip some. You can read, by the way, this is Revelation, the second chapter. But listen what he says about this future event. Are your ears awake? Listen, listen. Listen to the words. The Spirit is blowing throughout the churches, so there's a move of the Holy Spirit. I am going to give the sacred manna to every conqueror. I will also give a clear, smooth stone. Pam was talking about stones. That's where I came this way. Inscribed with your new name. Your secret new name. Come on, that's cool. That is really cool. God said to Abram, your name is Abraham. You know, God's changing people's names. And God's got, that's, I just think that's exciting. That's something to live for. And we're going to close by, not just closing, but we're gonna pray. And I'm going to ask, we're going to make this an altar call, but you don't have to come to the altar. We're going to make this whole church an altar. When we stand, we are standing around Calvary. I love that the cross is always there. It's always there. So when we stand in the church today, we're standing at the foot of the cross to make our prayer. And the Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, that he's there in the midst of them. So let's, I always say this. I wish I wasn't a Christian so I could get saved again. But we do need to live a life praying for repentance. We do need to live a life making our calling and election sure. And so if you would choose God today and if you would choose to stand in the presence of heaven and hell, let's stand together. If we would just choose God and choose Jesus. And just close your eyes because we're no longer at 59th and Trip. We stand at the foot of the cross. We stand in spiritual places. We come boldly before the throne of grace in our time of need. The first thing we want to say is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You're so brilliant. Lord, we love you. We worship you. There's no Holy Spirit like our Holy Spirit. There's no Savior like our Jesus. Thank you for being our King and our friend. Thank you, Father, for loving us. We could never tell you how much we love you. We need you. God, I ask you would change us to be permanently dependent children. Lord, I permanently need you. God, I'm tired of walking in the natural. Father, we bring and lay upon the altar heartache, heartbreak. Father, we bring and lay upon the altar our needs and we say, you are supplying our needs. Father, we ask for living water. We ask for living bread. Father, we have a promise that everything's going to be all right. I have a promise that someday you will place in my hand a white stone. And I'll look into those eyes of fire. I stand today. This church stands today. We each stand today for Jesus. We each stand in the presence of hell and says, I'm still here. I still have the scars, but I'm still here. I choose Jesus as my Lord. I choose him as my Savior. God, forgive us of sin, sins of omission and sins of commission. Lord, I plead the blood. May the blood of Jesus wash away our sins. Holy Spirit, don't just be a teaching. I ask that you would infill us. I ask that you would make your home, that you would feel comfortable in my life. You'd feel comfortable in my car. You'd feel comfortable being the temple of God. That, Lord, I would honor you. I thank you for every person here. I pray for their family. I pray for their finances. In the name of Jesus, I break curses over our life, Father God. I break disease curses in the name of Jesus. I know the disease has a name, and I know the disease has a course of action. And I know that according to the natural laws, that disease can do nothing but increase. We plead the higher law. By his stripes, we are healed. Father God, reach down and let living water flow through our minds. Let living water flow through our hearts. May it wash away the blocked up areas, the clogged up areas, the areas of bitterness, the areas of doubt, the areas of Lord, clean out our life and infuse us with the joy of the Lord, the hope of the Lord. Father, I've got a promise that everything is going to be all right. And we trust in you and we love you. Hallelujah. You are dismissed. Amen.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.